Hey, thanks for listening to the Fly Racing Racer X podcast. Before we get too deep into this thing, I want to thank the folks at Racetech, racetech.com, authorized service centers all across America, privateer proven, gold valves. They got suspension parts as well. Get your right spring rate done. Get a revalve. Get a oil change. Get motor work done. All of it. Racetech.com. They've been in business since, dude, the early 80s or something. And the best part is if you tell me listen to Pulp MX, the guys at Racetech and Racetech.com will give you a discount. That's right. It's that easy. Get some motor work done. Get suspension work done. Anything like that. Racetech.com. The home for suspension. All right. On to the show.
A Pulp MX Network production.
Welcome to the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, and Motorsport.com on RacerXOnline.com. With your continuing gracious support of our sponsors, we're thriving at over 1,800 podcasts delivered with over 20 million downloads. Click the Amazon banner on Pulp MX to help us out. Donate via Patreon if it suits you. And as always, enrich your moto lifestyle by working with the sponsors who support us. The original Moto Podcast, featuring legends of the past, stars of today, season previews, race reviews, introspection, opinion, facts, and laughs. Here's the voice bringing it all to you, Steve Mathis.
All right, everybody, welcome again to the Fly Racing Racer X Millville Review Show. Thank you for watching and listening. Appreciate it. What a weekend, man. We had just cool vibes, man. It's a great track, as you know, everybody. I love Millville, and lots to get into on the show to talk about when it comes to Millville, especially in this 250 class, as you'll find out. Thank you to the folks at Fly Racing. RJ Hampshire really stepping it up in the 450 class in his Fly Racing gear and looked pretty sharp this weekend. Dean Wilson, I think, got second in Brazil, so Fly's got that covered. Lucas Koonin won the MXGP in Finland. Fly's got that covered, so we're really international. Oh, and then Fly Racing rider up in Canada, we didn't do that well. But flyracing.com, code PULPMX to save. Whether it's kids gear, whether it's off-road stuff, Evo, all of it, kinetic mesh. Use that code PULPMX to save at flyracing.com. And yeah, thanks to those guys for coming on board. Renthal, Maxxis, Brunt Boots, Onyx Maps also on board. And yeah, thanks again, people. Appreciate it. All right, let's dive into Millville. The Washougal Hole Shot Contest happening this Friday. Maybe talk some Canadian moto and more. First up, he was the voice in the booth this weekend, and you heard him with James Stewart. He's been around for a little while. I don't know what exactly he does, but some say he's my boss at Racer X. The Jason Wygant. What's up, Weege?
Yeah, that's right. And I just hope we can keep the momentum going. I don't know what was different about this show last week, but the reviews were just raving, more so than usual. I don't know what changed, but people really liked last week's episode. So I just hope we can keep it going, Steve.
All right. Yeah, I did want to start with that off the top. But first up, from Fly Racing at flyracing.com, Jason Thomas. What's up, JT?
Not too much. You know, I don't know what to think of this, Weege, because Steve misses the pod. Like, this is the first time he's ever missed this pod because he hosts it.
Yep.
He doesn't go to the race this past weekend. He doesn't go to any race this past weekend outside That's of, right. I think maybe he raced himself on today as we're recording on Sunday. It just feels like we might be losing Steve here.
Yeah, I think he's banged up. Are you banged up, Steve? Is that the problem?
I was told there's a weekly show on the internet. Mm-hmm. And they tell me, these two idiots that host it, they tell me SMX playoffs is what's important. Playoffs, playoffs, playoffs. So I'm gearing up for the playoffs. I'll be there. I'm ready. There's three rounds.
You know you love that Charlotte press box.
It's the playoffs is the most important part of this sport. And so, you know, I'll be there to celebrate the three round champions and stuff. Yeah.
You know what? That is true. Fly Racing's own, the Monster Energy Supercross champion, Cooper Webb. That is actually the strategy he is partaking in. Maybe Aaron Plessinger, maybe Jason Anderson. Absolutely, Steve. There are facts to back up your argument. So you really need to watch that show more often.
Well, I think the best part of all that is the SMX mashup pod, of which you were a guest on, Steve.
A guest.
Weege and I
guest.
Host.
We were the host.
You'll be a guest of that. The SMX Insider mashup pod.
Yep. Our show.
So I have a few things to talk about here. First of all, I didn't see either one of you at Reno Arena Cross Friday before Glendale. Okay. I didn't see either one of you. I was there covering it. I didn't see either one of you crossing international boundaries to go to Gopher Dunes National last weekend. Didn't see either one of you there either. So to me, I'm the one getting out and covering this sport, all disciplines, all across the wave. You know, and so I didn't see you guys. So,
How's your Europe MXGP planning coming?
It's rough right now, but we're working on some things. We're working on some things. Also, wife's birthday.
Major awards back here. I don't need to speak. I will let the awards. That's a Telly Award that JT and I won 2 times now. AMA Media Excellence Award.
Sir,
I'm glad you're trying. I'm glad you're trying.
They may as well just send me that 2025 AMA award right now, because the things I'm doing this year, absolutely. Listen,
Canada's not AMA.
You have to steal that thing like Nicolas Cage in the Declaration of Independence if you want it.
You guys know my wife. She's a lovely lady. It was her birthday this weekend. She suggested doing a couple of things, and so I stayed back. I love Millville. I love J-Mart, Caroli, all of it. And yeah, you know, didn't make it, but I'll be at Washougal this weekend. And so,
as we get into racing, where are you with J-Mart? Because you used to be a little hard on him with the dealership stuff. Like, is he?
Oh, I still am. I made fun of him when he was in studio.
But is he like good with all that? Like he's I don't think he was thrilled for a while.
I was upset with you people.
Oh, okay.
And the way that you people covered this dealership shenanigans. That's what I was upset about.
That's I'm sure more, he saw not, it that way. I'm sure he was alongside you going, yeah, those guys are the bad guys.
I explained my take to him one time a few years back, and he got it. But then with J-Mart, you could also explain that it's Ferrandis and not Fernandez, and it doesn't really matter. So J-Mart went into the same thing he told me before. But listen, before we get to Millville, the review last week, you can vouch for this. There's been times where I'm like, hey, JT hasn't been able to make it, or he's been busy, and I've been like, okay, we'll just do it. And JT's like, nope. Like, I want to be there. I want to do it. And that's fine. That's three for many years now. I have no qualms with that. But please notice the sacrifice that I made in saying, hey, guys, I can't do it Sunday. I'm in Canada. And Monday is going to be tough flying back. So you guys do it. Just please notice the sacrifice that I made for that review pod last week.
You made the sacrifice by not doing something?
Right. The sacrifice because, of us doing your show for you.
No, because JT makes us... JT will not bow out when he's busy or when we have all conflicts. He will not bow out. We have to figure it out for the three of us, right? Weech, you can vouch for this. Have to work.
True. And it is extremely difficult.
Sometimes because you're busy. JT's mm-hmm. We're all busy.
We're all in different time zones.
Yeah. Yep. And so, but me, the patriot that I am.
Oh.
I took one for the team and said, hey, we can't make this happen. It's going to be really hard. Go ahead, you two. And you guys did it. I listened to it on the plane. It was horrific. Listen, absolutely horrific.
It was not horrific. It was actually awesome. There was no arguing. There was a lot of just great back and forth, I would say.
Many people are saying.
I refuse to be Wally Pipped. I will not be Wally Pipped. Just like this show, just like the privilege that I have with the broadcast now. Listen, they can tell me to go away, but they're going to have to tell me multiple times, do not come here. Otherwise, I'm just going to keep showing up. It's just what I do. It's how I made it in racing. I didn't have any talent. I just kept showing up on the weekends, and finally things started to work.
That might be the smartest thing you've ever said on this pod. Listen, I took the bullet for you people to have their review Sunday. I did that for all you listeners. I did that. And
right, I'm going to call Davey and say, I'm going to make the sacrifice for the next issue of the RacerX magazine. I'm going to not do anything. I will make the sacrifice to not do something.
That's not the same. You know it. But it was horrific. The sponsor reads barely got done.
That's not true.
They were not good. It was a bare minimum.
Your sponsors are just blowing you up with just the furious.
Yeah,
furious
Anthony might pull out. Anthony from Fly Racing, he might pull out. He's not
many
happy.
Many awards. Look, that's award winning.
You let JT walk all over you with these erroneous reports of what happened. Took all of his points and just let him be wrong.
I didn't counterpoint you enough.
You didn't counterpoint him.
Punching the air. hearing JT's takes.
I was on the plane, and they had to put me in a seatbelt restraint, like in my shoulders, because I was punching the wall and punching the window and everything. So
best night of Sunday sleep I've gotten in years.
Can we remind the folks that we have a live show this Friday night at Washougal as well?
Yeah, Friday at 6:30 or 7 o'clock at the Beer Gardens. 10 Barrel is helping us again. We're gonna have some special guests. It's us three and some special guests in the bar at the track.
Yeah,
and people have been hitting me up about wondering if it was at the brewery. No, it's at the Washougal tracks Friday night. We've done it 3 years in a row, I think. Really good time, good crowd.
It is a good one.
Please check that out. And it's gonna be great because I will be the whole shot champion.
Oh,
for that live show. So we'll get into later on. But
find out.
And we wait till you hear about this. Well, actually, never mind. You were on the group text. The pact. I thought we had a pact.
There was no pact.
There was no pact, but I thought we had a pact. And now I have to go out this week. So.
But you ride all the time. Like, what's.
Not all the time, but yeah.
But you didn't you race this morning?
No. It's my wife's birthday. I was in a hotel.
I thought you said something about you got up to 7th or something. What were you talking about?
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, really? I have to go back in the text. Anyway.
Wait, I raced last weekend.
Okay. Well, you ride a lot. You ride a lot. I haven't ridden in 3 years. Like, that's not fair.
I got to go great start practice. That's what I have to do.
I haven't done that, nor will I until Friday.
You didn't practice on a great?
No.
Oh, okay. No.
I just rode.
I thought you found a great somewhere.
No, okay. I wish I had one, but I.
Oh,
no,
wow. I will have one on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, do what you got to do. Like, if you've noticed, I haven't claimed anything. I haven't claimed I'm going to beat you. I haven't claimed I'm going to be awesome. I haven't claimed anything because I truly don't know what's going to happen. I'm just going to show up and do my best. I'm not making these proclamations like you are.
So the whole shot challenge is on. I want to explain to everybody.
Yeah.
I cannot believe this is happening. This Friday, right after press day.
Imagine like
Shugel.
Yeah. Hey, imagine like a super hunky or Jody grabbing RJ's CR250 and doing a contest the day before the race.
Imagine Will Buxton just getting in Max Verstappen's Red Bull car.
Right. Right.
It's not. So this has been your dream for over a year now, Steve. We're going to find out if it is the Lars button that truly gets the whole shots for the Lawrences. So it'll be Steve Mathis on Hunter Lawrence's actual motorcycle, his race bike.
Do we have that clarified?
Hunter will hand the bike to you.
Do we have that clarified? It's Hunter's bike? I don't know if we had that.
Yeah, Hunter, okay. It's Hunter's bike. I talked to Hunter today about it via DM.
Yep. And JT will be on a stock production Honda, still being raced by Cornelius Tondal.
Yep. Second moto, not race, though, I don't believe.
Yeah, thankfully he's got some DNFs in there.
DNFs and 4 motos, I believe.
Keeping the hours down on that clutch. And that's it. We're going to have a whole shot battle. I talked to Tim Cotter and Jim Perry at MX Sports.
And what was their response?
About it. They think it's awesome.
They were laughing or they?
Tim Cotter was like, I wish we had done this at High Point. Would have been awesome. He's bummed it took till round 7 or whatever to get this thing going.
Mm-hmm. How many are we doing? What are the rules here?
I don't know, man. It's a loose. We haven't talked about that. Yeah. We don't know if it's a best of three. We don't know if we're going all the way the first turn. Nobody knows.
That is the only thing we came up with. Because Jim Perry's like the actual whole shot line. I'm like, isn't that around the first turn? And we all agreed.
Yeah, we're going.
There'll be no turns.
We're going down to the line where that single is down there.
No, there will be no turns for everyone's safety. No turns.
I didn't agree to that.
Oh, I thought there was a pact. No pact.
There's no pact. No, I said the whole time it's down, it's left, and then down to the whole shot line. That is technically a whole shot. The whole shot challenge cannot be without a whole shot line, which is down where it is.
All right, you'll have to contact the AMA and MX Sports and the Huffman family who operates Washougal. People are very afraid for your safety that you guys are going to do a turn.
I mean, we're having a media day on Sunday riding the entire racetrack. What's the difference?
I think people are afraid that Steve won't be able to turn a motorcycle that's going that fast. I think is the fear.
Wow. Okay.
Yes.
Wow.
I mean, they literally let hundreds of amateurs, thousands of amateurs at times ride all day, all weekend. Like, what are we talking about here?
All right. State your case. We'll see. So I went over to the Honda tent.
Mm-hmm.
Lars was available to speak to the media. He was available.
Oh, he was. Okay. Yeah. I also saw he was available after the race on Saturday too. He was also available for that.
He did an interview, JT, on the post show.
Yeah.
Talked to Hunter Lawrence, Jet, Dazzy, the whole crew, they are very much rubbing their hands together over this.
Okay. Yeah.
They don't like your chances, Steve.
That's fine. That's fine. And honestly, I'm not as serious as JT about this. If yeah. I go, if I go down in defeat, I will, I'll be fine. My life will go on and we'll all get some laughs out of this. But if I win, and I plan to win, God help us all. God help us all.
You have to also understand that I haven't said a damn word. I have not said one thing.
It's really the bike. The bike is going to what's going to make me win this. Like, it's not me. That's the point. I'm not some
great starter.
This is a Honda HRC bike. Hey, how were the starts at Millville, guys? Were they any good?
It was insane. It was.
Okay. All right.
Let's get into this. Might not be giving Hunter and Jed enough credit. Might. And I say might with the most sarcasm I can possibly layer on it.
And I had to sort of talk to Hunter about that because he really kind of thought that I was like just saying, hey, man, it's the bike is everything. And I'm like, Hunter,
just said that.
On a line where all the guys are uber skilled and the 99th percent of skilled riders, pro riders, let's say 10 of them anyways, the Honda's got something going on off the start that helps those guys out. Now, if they were on a Yamaha, would they get good starts? Yes, they would. Would they hole shot every goddamn moto? No.
I mean, the bike is really good, yes. But also, I definitely don't like, and I don't think you mean this, but no one should think that they're not a huge part of this equation also.
Yeah, and, no, they are. They are most of the equation.
I think you're going to portray that incredibly well on Friday.
Okay. All right. You know what, though? Shout out to Brock Tickle. He's the one man that I can find that thinks I'm going to do this.
Really?
Yep. Brock Tickle, everyone. I've always been there for Tickle.
Can they get a Tickle button on Prado's bike?
Now, that's all I really needed. I can take this like Deegs, and I can use
this as fuel. Right. You just needed one guy.
I just needed one. I needed.
Right.
I'm ramping up the TikTok as soon as this video is over.
Yeah. All right. So, stay tuned for this. It's Racer X Films, right? Weege, we'll do a Racer X Films. Tommy Tenders.
Tommy Tenders will be there. Maybe this is Lawrence as well.
What's that?
I mean, he does the Lawrence video, so maybe he'll be part of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they're going to be there loving it.
Right. I think this is very likely to make it onto RDL on Saturday.
All right. Yeah.
Yes. We tipped off. We know a couple people that run the TV broadcasts. We tipped them off. They seemed extremely interested that our trackside analyst will be doing starts against some media guy.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, after I win, it would be good for RDL, for real, if JT could get on Hunter's bike and do a couple. I don't know how Honda would feel about that or whatever, but I mean, that'd be kind of cool if that could happen. Yeah.
That probably would be cool.
I would love to do it just to have a comparison against the stock bike.
Yeah, exactly. And then obviously it'll be covered in champagne and graffiti. And glitter. But once we clean that off. Yeah.
One other thing that Dazzy and Lars said, Washougal, they usually don't use scoops. So no scoops as far as they're thinking.
So I'm gonna have corn dog scoops, so I'm good.
Okay. No scoop.
Is corn dog gonna be there?
He's not. But I've already planned this into my thinking. He had a scoop on this weekend, which will still be on.
Yeah, no one's taking that off. Right. Yeah.
No. Yeah. Yeah. We're good.
That's pretty smart.
Right. All right. And stock. They're putting a stock clutch back into it. Corndog used a Recluse or whatever, something. Yeah. So. All right. Well, stay tuned, everybody. And JT's in studio Pulp MX show on Monday to.
This could be like 72 hours of hell for me. It goes poorly.
All right, let's get into this. And again, thanks for watching and listening. Thank you to Renthal, by the way. I'll have Renthal bars and sprocket on my hole shot machine this weekend on Friday. It'll be fantastic. Twin wall bars, fat bars, mountain bike parts are available at Power Sports dealers nationwide as well. And Renthal.com, use factory. More championships than all the other brands combined. Crushing it, the guys at Renthal, and appreciate their support for the show. We'll tell you more about the other guys later on. I want to start with J-Mart. Sorry, not sorry. I think you got to start with J-Mart. We normally start with the 4D guys, but speaking of Lars, was there something in something in the script about Joe's rear brake. Joe passes J-Mart in the second moto and then flies off the track and then has a rear brake problem, but still somehow does okay with no rear brake. And that allows J-Mart to grab the win in his last pro race ever. Look, if J-Mart goes 3-2, 3-3, it's an amazing day. It's awesome. It's incredible hole shots. But the guy wins. Unbelievable. J-Mart, everybody. It was so cool. I had FOMO. I definitely had FOMO not being there and seeing it and everything else. Unbelievable, Weege.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, we didn't even build it up a ton at the beginning of the first moto. We knew we were going to cover it throughout because I don't think anyone had in the script that he was going to be battling up front. And this is not disrespect to J-Mart. I'm going to go back right now. Let's look at his results. When the season started, I don't know about you, JT, but Steve, I think you and I were low-key pumped on, how's J-Mart going to do? And it was about 10 minutes into the first moto of the year at Fox Raceway. I'm like, not very good. Like, he was in 24th and he wasn't moving up.
Phil and I did a Renthal reaction, and Phil's like, I think he can get in the top five. Like, and I'm like, yeah, like, maybe. Like, I'm not doubting this.
I believed it.
It went horrific.
Yes, he went 20-20 at the first race of the year, then crashed out of Hangtown. So based on that, I did not see winning a moto coming. Yes, Millville can help. And I don't mean knowing the track, because he's been beaten there before. It's not like he's 5 seconds a lap faster than everyone every year he goes there. But the crowd, the emotions, the adrenaline, I did not think it was literally worth 20 positions.
It's unbelievable, JT. That was so awesome.
It was that was an all-time moment. And I don't want to sound hyperbolic. Like, I truly mean that. To have a guy that's as decorated as J-Mart is with those 250 stats, I think a lot of people forgot how good he was in that specific time window. To do it kind of out of nowhere, you know, like, this is a guy that was literally broadcasting in the legends category. Like, he was done. And to come back really off the couch, right? He, even after the Hangtown thing, he only rode like 6 or 7 times coming into the race. That's not supposed to happen. What happened? Like, what the way that went is not supposed to happen. And it did. And thank God it did, because I'll never forget it. I will never forget being in that moment. And normally I'm so kind of unbiased in trying to analyze what's happening and do the best job I can. I like had goosebumps. Like, I felt so much adrenaline for him. Like, I was talking to myself in the last couple laps, like, just hang on to this thing. Just, you know what I mean? Like, I think I was right there with a lot of people. You're just manifesting this for him so much. And man, that was, again, something I'll never forget. Like, I cannot believe that went the way it did. Like,
when he qualified when he qualified that well, I still wasn't like, oh, yeah, like, he'll qualify third, right? And he got
two hole shots out of nowhere. Like, he was not a great starter at any point really in his career. And he just rips these monster hole shots. Like,
And again, like, his fast lap, I'm like, okay, whatever, cool. I hope he gets in the top 10. Like, I hope he goes 5-5 or 7-7 or, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't take that qualifying time as anything like, oh, we're in for a special day. It's J-Mart at Millville. He can lay down a heater. I get it. But, dude, yeah, the hole shots, Shimoda's rear brake going out. Like, Joe didn't catch and pass him, you know. Listen, but
you can tell me, you know, I don't care what your religious beliefs are. None of that's important to me. But in moments like that, it felt like that was supposed to happen. Like, what you're talking about with Joe's break, Deegan not being 100%. He gets the hole shots both times. Like, everything that had to happen for that to go the way it went that day happened. And of course, he rode incredibly well, but he needed help too. Like, he needed Kitchen to have issues because he went 1-1 there. He needed Deegan not to be his best self. He needed Joe to have that problem second. Like, he needed Hamaker to crash the way he did. Like, all these things. It's really hard to think that, like, this wasn't meant to be that way. And I don't know what to attribute it to, but, like, you watch these things unfold and you're just like, how could this not be meant for this day? Like, it was truly that type of feeling down, especially down there on the podium. Like, it was unbelievable. I don't think there was anybody there that was not happy for J-Mart. And that is rare. Like, in this sport with so much ego and everybody's jockeying for position, everybody wants to win. For everybody to be happy for J-Mart, that's a very rare thing in this sport.
Go ahead, Weech.
Even the scenario where If Joe beats Deegs in the first moto, which almost happened, then Deegan has to beat J-Mart in Moto 2 to win the overall. So even the fact, and I hate this because it's going to sound like we're taking away from J-Mart's thing, but I think your overall point is like, this is like a hand of fate. Like, Deegan's specialty is trying to crush people's souls at the end of the day. But this was a situation where he did not have to. He was riding a little banged up, and he was going to win the overall anyway. And it was I think he went for it. I think he tried.
And J-Mart's no threat. He doesn't care about J-Mart big picture, right?
Like, no. And it wasn't going to cost him the overall anyway. So even that, maybe J-Mart still holds off a little less than 100% Deegs anyway. But Deegs didn't have to win or die trying.
Yeah. Whether or not J-Mart could or couldn't almost isn't the point.
No.
The point is that Deegan didn't even have to try to force it.
No, exactly. And the break going out and Deegan didn't have to and all I mentioned on a podcast on Saturday night, I always post the audio for the press conference. And I just said, dude, there's a lot of terrible things that happen in this sport all the time. Riders are getting hurt, bad guys that everybody loves, you know, poor Jerry Robin and guys like this and Trevor Colop. And so many times we get a reminder of how much this sport sucks. And that includes things that have happened to J-Mart in the last 10 years, real bad. But then something like this happens and you're just like, no, but then there's this also. This is the payoff. It's insane how good it can be at times.
Reminded me of Mookie's win, too. Mookie's win was incredible earlier this year. Hometown guy, first race, ripped through the pack, Florida guy. Same idea, same feeling, everything else. Aiden Zing, too. Weege is a terrible part of the sport, right? Like,
great
yeah. Point. And then J-Mart does this. And again, like, he hasn't, like JT mentioned, as far as I know, I didn't talk to Jerma, but as far as I know, it has not been like straight boot camp for weeks and weeks and weeks. He had to take time off after Hangtown. Like he wasn't right again. And that's what made him end it. Right. So he went from 2020, although like JT pointed out on our podcast, fantasy podcast, he was in 10th or 11th at Hangtown when he went down. So it was remarkably better the next week, but still I don't think he came in like 100% prepared and boot camp and everything else.
He told us, we interviewed him for Insider last week. He told us he had ridden five times before press day.
Okay, like, yeah, right.
That's not a lot when you're talking about a seven-week, you know, time off or whatever it was.
And then, like, just past halfway a second moto, his times are dropping a little bit, as to be expected, and then all of a sudden he starts laying down heaters again. He did, like, three in a row, like, really good times. You're like, he's back.
Yeah, once he... Like there's so much that goes on in a race. Like guys are sizing each other up the whole time. And there's like this mental battle that goes on with these guys and it's subtle, but those guys, when they're in it, they know exactly what's happening and guys are trying to break each other. Hunter and Jet were the same way in the second moto. The guy will try to push to see if I can break him. If the guy matches that the next lap, he won't push as hard because like, I can't go. Like I can't, if I go all in right now, he's going to go with me and then I'm gonna have nothing left. Like there's all this assessing. When J-Mart picked it up, and I said it on the broadcast, like he took it. It had been 3 seconds for, I don't know, 10 minutes. He went. J-Mart went for it and got it to like 5.8. And that was it. That was it. As soon as J-Mart got that gap, Hayden didn't respond. It was over. J-Mart's like, I'm leaning into it right now. And Hayden said, I'm done. Like, I'm not going to push. That was the end of the race. Like, as far as all intents and purposes, the battle was over right in that second. And that's what you're talking about, those heaters. When he put those heaters in, it completely ended the race in that moment. I mean, it ended up being like 15 seconds or more at the end. Like it was done as soon as he broke that 3 second yo-yo effect that was going on.
We know J-Mart's fitness is legendary, you know, but the bike fitness is different than anything else, as we know. So to ride five or six times and then dig deep and do all of that. Yeah, man, that was cool. That was awesome. So, I mean, like, did Bobby Reagan try to get him to Washougal?
I am worried. You can't end better than that. Please don't. Don't pick up the phone.
No.
You don't get to write your ending very often. Like this sport is it can be cruel. And even, you know, like I shouldn't insert myself, but I had to go through this too. Like I, you know, quit racing and your life changes and all that. Like I got to leave on my own terms, but it wasn't like a swan, like this heroic swan song.
You were
like,
horrible.
I limped out of it. Like I,
you were horrible. Like,
right. But the point is, you don't get to write a chapter like that for most people on your way out. Like, that just does not happen. That's like a movie ending.
Well, JT, at your home track, with your whole with your dad as the track owner. I mean, like, yeah. Like it's not even winning Steel City last moto or winning Paula. You know what I mean? Like, it's like at Millville, at the track that you grew up on. It's unbelievable.
I think my point is just this sport can be harsh that way. Like, it usually sends you out on your ass, for lack of a better term. And for him to kind of get the best of it, we're not going to see that very often in this sport, if ever.
And I think he's got the third largest gap between career wins. Between moto wins. I think Larry Ward's number one.
2021, yeah.
Yeah, and then Larry Ward's number one, and then it's J-Mart after that the second moto. So,
A couple things I learned from him. I cannot believe this is true, but I believe it is. I checked enough to know, wink, wink, nod, nod, it actually is. He freaking took a spring off a championship bike he had at his house and put it on the race bike. Now, look, Steve, you could probably correct. Springs don't really change much. It's not.
Yeah, I can't. I saw you say this and I don't understand. Like, so let's say it's a 4.8. Like, there's lots of 4.8 springs in the world, or 4.6s or whatever.
Yeah. So I do want to explain, if you're like, how could that be from a technological standpoint? Has a spring changed in 20 years? Is a 4.8 spring any different from 05 to now?
Right. No.
So at least everyone knows it's not like he did some radical bike setup thing. It's the same exact freaking spec. Springs haven't changed technologically. It's not like he put a cam from a 12-year-old bike in a 2025. But I don't know why he did that. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I don't know if it was superstition or what. But he freaking had a shock, a spring from his, I guess, 2014 or 2015 bike from his house on the bike that he won on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm going to ask him about that. He's on the Pulp Show tomorrow night, and I have that in my brain.
He might get in trouble
for
that. He had been drinking after the race. I don't know if he was supposed to say it.
He was drinking? Really? He was drinking?
Yeah, he had a Michelob Ultra. Michelob Ultras. we talked to the suspension guy for the team. He was trying to deny it afterwards. But I don't think J-Mark cares at this point. He also said when he went down to Star in the couple weeks before round one, they were like, what is up with your turns, dude? You used to be good at turns. What are you doing in the turns? And he's like, well, I'm trying to do the new style. I'm trying to stand up. I'm trying to stand up entering the corner. And he said he was riding terribly. So when he came back this time, they're just like, bro, just do the old thing. Just ride like you used to.
Yeah, like a little munchkin, like sitting down. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was what worked for him. So he did attribute some of that, and they gave him a different start map because he said the starts were so bad. The start blocks, I don't think they had that when he was last racing, really. So he went a little more old school on a couple things compared to round one.
He's like when Rocky went to Russia. He's running mountains.
Chopping wood. You
know, chopping wood. Yep. He's doing all the things. Drago's doing all the new things. And not J-Mart.
Old school Mercedes in the snow.
Yeah. No vapor flies for J-Mart. None.
He also said when he was in the danger zone, because he was in the danger zone.
Yep.
Before he put in those heaters.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, hey, man, I did Leadville. I can suffer. I can do this.
Oh, J-Mart's ability to suffer is legendary. I mean, when Osho, when Johnny O, when those guys give him, you know, he's gotten the ultimate compliments from so many riders.
I mean, when a guy like O'Mara talks about your cardio capabilities, take notes.
Yeah, yeah. So J-Mart's a legend that way. That is really cool. And again, like, yeah, you guys brought it up, but Shimoda's brake failing and Deegan being banged up and not having to pull it all just. And did you see him yank Deegan on the second moto start too? Like just gone. Once he got third, it was over. Yeah, nuts. So congrats to J-Mart. What a career. And he gets enough points to keep his number six if he wants to come back again.
No.
Please don't. Like, just.
No. Yeah.
Just don't do it.
Right, right. Oh, wow. All right, let's keep going with 250s. We may as well. Deegs wins again. They said he put some foam, or you guys said he put some foam under his bars for his Charlie horse or whatever that he's gotten, right, from Redbud. And then, yes, obviously, second moto, you know, he wasn't the same guy. First moto, though, was typical Deegs, where it took a while, and then he just got into the afterburners a little bit. Joe, would Joe have been penalized had he passed Deegan? Was that floating around there on the Red Cross? Were you guys aware of this?
I mean, I saw it as it happened, and we analyzed it on the show, but I didn't hear anything after the race.
Okay.
Either way.
Because, Joe did catch him, but that was obviously a massive help. But the point being, Deegs wasn't quite himself. close.
No, he definitely
not quite
wasn't.
Himself. Yeah.
But JT, I want to ask you this one. Because of that, Joe gets him. And I think everyone collectively thought, all right, Deegs has given all he's got. He's going to just take second in this moto. He's hurt. The next lap, Joe went from doing 157s to a 2 minute. What the hell? Yeah. What the hell, Joe?
Yeah, it was really strange. You know, James was talking about it. I was talking about it on the broadcast too. Like, there was a real opportunity there for Joe to kind of exit and go on and win the moto, I think uncontested, but mm-hmm. you have to be conscious of the situation. Like, you have, you know, that situational awareness where Hayden's kind of giving it to you here. Like, he's kind of relenting in this moment. Like, he's hurting. He knows you're going faster. There was really no fight from him. You have to now put the nail in the coffin, so to speak, and like go. Like, you got to go. You got to get away from him, because if you let him sit there and he regroups, this kid's a fighter. Like, it is, that is who he is. And if you let him kind of get his senses back, get his heart rate down, and he's like, oh, I can still win. Like, that is a very dangerous thing to kind of wait, that carrot to wave in front of Hayden. Like, that's not the right guy to do that with. And you could see him, like, he's just like, oh, all right. Well, if you're not going to
go, I'll take this. Yeah.
Yeah. Then like, let's get it on. Like, that's Hayden's personality in a nutshell. So that to me, that was much less about Hayden. That was much more about Joe not taking advantage of what was right in front of him.
One of the questions I had was, do you think Joe wins Moto 2 if his brake doesn't go out? But I don't know, because of what happened in Moto 1, you know?
I think he was
feeling it worse. Yeah.
I think he was going to win. Yeah.
It's funny. Joe said, oh, I think he got behind me and figured out my lines, but the lap time, like, Joe didn't, you and James. Yeah. You both talked about that. You have to break the guy. If JT, do you think if the very, that just that one lap, if the whole lap after Joe passes him, if he puts in one burner, does he win the moto?
Yeah. It's mental. It's all mental. Because Hayden's effort level completely changes. Like, his outlook on the rest of the race is not about winning anymore. It's like, okay, second's good. I got to hold on to this thing. Because never have we ever seen Hayden let anybody pass him without a fight or kind of be like, yep, go ahead. Like, Hayden, he probably never admit it. But that's what happened in the races. He's like, go ahead, man. Like, I've given everything I've got. My leg's killing me here. I'm not 100%. Go on. And Joe, like, you have to, you see it all the time. The best guys, I even said it on the show, the best guys, they drop the hammer in that moment. Like, they know it. They sense it. It's like, right now, two laps, this race is over. I'll get it to 8 seconds right now, and it's done. Like, Hayden won't fight anymore. It's a completely different race, and we're going to get to it. But that's where Hunter kept it in the first moto of the 450 class. He never let Jet get close. He held that gap the whole time. And finally, if you sit back there long enough, like Jet did, you just say, I can't get there. I just cannot get there. And that's where Joe had a real chance to get to. And I don't know, if I was coaching him, I would say, man, you've got to watch that race a million times over and just imprint that into your brain, that situation, and understand that right then you could have won that moto going away easily. Like, you could have been riding around the last
one. I think we've seen with Joe over the years, he could use more aggression. He could use more. We had a little attack at Deegs at Glendale or Dallas, wherever the hell that was. But generally speaking, Joe could use more aggression. Did he say that he had no rear brake or it would come back? Did either one of you hear that at all? Like, what was?
He was gone. He said, yeah,
he
didn't
said it was
back.
Gone. But, you know, like, he kept hitting it like in that those couple laps.
Yeah.
So me, having had that happen a million times, because I was really hard on rear brakes. So I would boil the fluid. They would get air in them. They wouldn't work very well. They would fade really bad. And that was my fault. I was
JT was one of the first ones in the pits, I remember, with the little reservoir extender. Either Frank made it or Truman made it, or like, he was on the cutting edge of adding more brake fluid to his reservoir.
You and JMB, innovators.
Yep.
But so I'm very familiar with what that feels like. And when he keeps hitting it like that, like, you can try to get some feel back into it. You're also like trying to figure out what the hell is going on. So I think it was not working very well. Like, that's what I think. Pretty much like not effective. If you have no rear brakes at all, like none, coming down that hill, you're not going very fast.
That's where I'm going with this. Yeah.
You're not going very fast coming down that hill at all, because you can't stop. Like, your front brake is not going to stop you.
No, and he got fourth. So I tend to think it was working somewhat, or he pumped it up. Because, dude, that hill is really steep.
I we are in agreement on that. I would feel very strongly that he had some usage of it. Something, just not very much.
Deegs, J-Mart, Shimoda, podium. And hey, listen, Joe's, take away that rear brake thing. You know, that's four good motos in a row for Joe now, after a little bit of a slump. Four seconds to start the year, then a little slump. Now we got four basically seconds again. Again, rear brake issue, not a second, but kind of, right? So shout out to Joe, riding better, getting things back on track. Is he staying with Honda? It's kind of what I heard, but do we know?
Now, Lewis asked him about it. He still didn't really commit.
All right. Do you think, to me, that whole thing comes down to, will Honda find a way to put him on a 450 down the line? Like, to me, that's the whole kit and caboodle. Like, I think they want to keep him.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
He's not really in danger of getting out of there. If he wins the title, he got another year to defend.
I think the other offers he has are giving him some sort of pathway to be on a factory 450.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Honda is willing to or can promise him that. To me, that's a big part of the will he or won't he.
He makes so much money at Honda. He should just stay.
And like, there's no way you could ever convince me that Mr. Ishikawa, being at Redbud, watching that, is not going, yeah, man, we got to figure this out. Like, figure out a way to keep this Japanese rider, because that matters. Like, that absolutely matters for these Japanese OEMs. Like, figure out a way to keep the guy here. Like, that is a very likely outcome of Redbud.
Mikal Harrop, 4-3. Good job. Triumph had a good day in general. Austin Faulkner had a pulse and showed something for, you know, it's been a tough year for him. But Harrop said he loved this track. He loved the fans. He loved everything. I saw his interview. He was really happy. So that's cool. Good dude. Getting better. And he's getting better from the start of the year. So
it's impressive.
Yep.
He's sixth in points or something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, it's kind of where I thought he would be, to be honest. I thought he'd be top fives, a lot of top fives, and be right around there in points. He did look like he got a little tired at Redbud, and this week, second moto, looking at lap times a little bit, because he was ripping in the second moto at Millville here, and then kind of stopped the charge a little bit. But hey, still rode really well. Marchbank 7-7 for fifth overall. Yeah.
Didn't have good starts, though.
No, really? Oh, really? Oh,
okay. No. Yeah, his interview with Lewis, he talked a lot about they're trying a lot of different things. He wouldn't get into details, but it sounds to me like both clutch, maybe ECU, trying a lot of things, trying hard.
I don't think the motos I ever paid attention to him once.
Like, no, I don't.
I didn't want to. I didn't.
Yeah, he's not in the battle almost ever. He's just always coming from 14th or 20th or whatever.
You guys are going to be shocked, but he was the hard charger in Moto 2 with 12 spots. Changed. And also four spot, actually second, first moto he was okay. He started 11th at the whole shot line, so not bad for Marchbanks. So yeah, 7-7. Levi Kitchen, crashed for moto one, right? At some point crashed, and then second moto, whatever. Yeah, just what a blah outdoor season from Levi. I mean, obviously that Daytona crash was huge, right? But and I was giving him some, well, actually I was giving him some props at Paula, because he run third for a while, right? At Paula? Wasn't he third for a little while in first moto?
No, he had a horrible Paula.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry.
That was Marchbanks.
That's Marchbanks. Sorry. It's never gotten going for Levi. It's never.
No, quite. He had a bunch of podiums. He had a bunch of podiums. South Redbud, I was like, here it comes. He's back. He's probably going to win Millville, I thought.
Like, Hangtown. I know High Point, like, he had a bunch of podiums there, like in like round two, four, five. I don't know. Like, it hasn't been that bad. Redbud, I feel like he should have been on the podium for sure at Redbud.
Yeah.
No question. Yep.
I thought he was going to win Redbud. I think he was the best rider at Redbud. So I thought, oh, here comes Millville. Won one last year. He's going to win this weekend. Deegs a little hurt. I know he crashed, but dude, JT, he was in 14th for like the first 17 minutes of the first moto.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is happening here? He didn't move up.
Yeah.
It was a weird weekend. The only weekend where I would say it's been like what is going on Levi Kitchen was the first round. Every other round, like I've been like, okay, like
hasn't crashed. Yeah.
The crashes,
a lot of crashes. Right.
A lot of crashes.
The riding Apollo was like, what is going on here?
Yeah, it's right. He had a DNF first moto, got a rock on the chain. Then yeah, second moto was like, whatever. Dylan Schwartz, 11-9. Good job, Dylan Schwartz, for seventh overall. Riding better lately, for sure. And then Faulkner, 9-11. Faulkner, that's his first top. What'd you say, Weege? His first top 10 in 3 years?
Yeah,
first 2 years?
Top 10. And I don't even know, dude. It was a long time.
It was a long time.
The thing I'm most excited about is we are talking about Faulkner and 9-1-1 and it being his finishes and not anything with an injury.
Jalik Swole, 16-5. Five, still strong for Jalik. Yeah, first moto he crashed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jordan Smith was up there in moto one, then crashed. So Jordan probably would have went like 6 or 7, 8, 8, 8, something like that. But 15-8, and he mentioned he crashed into sand whoops. He had to get sand out of his goggles and stuff. So Mosman, 5-18. I don't know what happened second moto. Just early on, he was way back. So I don't know if it was a bad start or whatever. But a 5 again for Mosman.
Yeah, he's good.
Like Avery Long. Shout out Avery Long. That's his best career finish. I didn't know he was a Minnesota guy. I didn't understand he was a hometown guy. So good job, Avery Long. Volans, 10-17. Tom Vial. Ooh.
Whoa.
Things going bad to worse for Tom. 6 in Moto 1, which is just like whatever. Kind of moved up a little bit, but 6 and then crashed out. Moto 2. Ouch.
Yeah. It has just not been good for him these Nationals for the most part.
I just wonder how much his silly season stuff's weighing on him, right? A little bit on what's going on, what he's doing, what he's focusing on. So,
you know, I guess one of the big factors there, kind of going back to what you were saying about Shimoda JT, is that I guess his KTM offer is only 1 year. They're not dumping him, but it's 1 year. And I think we all know that the chances that his first 450 Supercross year, he's going to end it with a ton of leverage to get another deal. It's possible, but probably the odds aren't great, where I guess this MXGP offer is multiple years, maybe 2, maybe 3. That's a tough decision to make.
Yeah. Yeah. I do not like the way it sets up for him to go into a contract season next year. Like I don't think
and you know, great. And you know, they got AP and Eli at big money. So, you know, it's probably not awesome money, right? He's a 2-time Supercross champion, probably being like WTF. Why is this money? Why is it a 1-year deal and so low?
Well, they weren't planning on him being on a 450. Is the whole thing?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Like, so he can't really blame them. This wasn't on the schedule. This was a complete wild card that they're pivoting and having to work through. So
I said this before. The least amount of wins for a 2-time 125 250 Supercross champion was 6. He's got 3. Like, he's 50% less wins than any other 2-time 250 Supercross champion. So if you're KTM,
I don't know anybody that I would trust their opinion on riding technique that would say that he's ready for primetime 450 Supercross. Like, I just don't. I don't think that. Like, would he be fine? Like, getting 9th and 11th, 10th, 7th? Sure, that's fine. Like, he would figure it out, but to make the jump and then have to get another contract on the back of that he would have to have a great summer, and he's going to be in that Justin Cooper spot where a team's going to find room for him. He's not going to have any leverage in that conversation at all.
Yeah. Low gear deal, low bike deal, low everything. Right. And then like that Honda offer is probably for good money, I would think.
They have their whole budget open. That's the whole thing, right? Like, they have millions of dollars coming off the books between Geiser and Fernandez.
Wait, Fernandez?
Ruben.
Oh, yeah, not Dylan? Okay,
yeah, sorry. Not Dylan.
Just a lot of J-Mart talk. Fernandez. Right. It's a lot of J-Mart
talk. The real Fernandez.
Drew Adams, 8-21. A lot of crazy moto scores. Like, 8-21, 5-18, 15-8. We had a lot of weirdo scores. 6-40. So Drew Adams, 8-21. I don't know what happened second moto. You guys have any idea?
I didn't see him, honestly.
No. Ryder D, 1 week after qualifying on pole and going like 7-6 or whatever he did at Redbud. It was a great job. He's on a similar track, Millville, Minnesota.
In the morning. He was fast in the morning. Yes. I was watching him in qualifying. I'm like, are we going to see the same thing? I just want to see it. And like his first few laps, he would come by, the board would say like P3, P5.
Oh, he qualified like, P4.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yep. Like he was fast. So I don't know what went on in the race. Probably bad starts. But when I was paying attention to him in the morning, I'm like, okay, same guy's still here.
Yeah. Hammacher had a rough day, led Moto 1, then didn't, then pulled off Moto 2 after a crash too. So
he's got some sort of health issues going on.
Yeah. Yeah. He's battling something, Seth Hammacher. So,
He had that problem like 4 or 5 years ago, and it seemed like it was fixed. Maybe it's not quite. It says he actually twisted his knee in the second moto. So I think pulling off Moto 2 was not as related to the Moto 1.
Oh, okay.
As it seemed. But, gosh, it's like he's reverted back. Like, we didn't see any of the old Hammacher crashes in Supercross, but happening way too much.
Yeah, he's outdoors. Probably not able to practice during the week, not able to maybe do all the training because of this health stuff, and then trying to go fast on the weekends, right? It all just catches up to you. Bummer deal for sure for Hammacher. All right. Nate Thrasher, 12:20. Mark Finnis was okay this weekend for Tyloo. He didn't make the motos a few weeks ago.
Yeah, he's a riddle, that guy.
Yeah.
I have no idea what to make of that.
Fred Ortsoff had a rough weekend too. I was thinking maybe a little bit of a shine for Fred Ortsoff, but all right, that's 250 class. Anything else? Hey, by the way, what's the points? The points gap. I looked at the points gap.
40.
And dude, yeah, it's 40 something. It was over 50, I think, at one point. So he's keeping it somewhat close, Joe.
It was 60.
Was it 60? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, it's still, Deegs is going to get this for sure. Don't get me wrong. But
Maybe it wasn't 60. It was 50 something, maybe.
Yeah, I thought it was 50 something. That's the 250s for Millville. And it's a J-Mart story, of course. Thank you to Renthal, Maxxis Tires as well. Fast Freddy Norn used to use Maxxis, but then he split up with his team. But Max Miller is using Maxxis. The PRMX guys are using Maxxis as well. Maxxis.com for more information on that. Mountain bike tires and more. They got a scoop now. Jeremy McGrath helped develop the Maxxis tires. So please check out Maxxis.com if you can. Appreciate that. Renthal and Fly Racing. FlyRacing.com. Some guy named Justin Brayton, who, by the way, is clearly in my corner on the Whole Shot Challenge because he is giving me some great tips. Weed, you can vouch for that. He, he's classy. JB's classy, so he probably just wants a good contest from everybody.
I will be texting JB the WTF very soon.
Oh, all right. Yep. And he wears Fly Racing, and he gave me some great tips on the Honda bikes for starting. And
On your side, maybe defined by trying to help, but on your side far as making predictions.
No. Yeah. Not saying that. He's classy, so he's giving me tips.
He's just a perfect 10, really. But remember, he reveres JT's career so much. It was really, he could just get to JT's level, that was his only goal as a racer.
That was it. If I could just be like a top 20 outdoor guy, I would just, that would be awesome. Make money living, make money racing for a living. That's all JB wanted. So check out Maxxis Tires, Renthal, Fly Racing, code PulpMX to save with Fly Racing. 2026
stuff, Friday.
Yeah. Friday. Okay. Yes, Friday, everybody. So the latest and greatest Fly Racing. I got a little sneak peek. It's awesome, as usual. And flyracing.com for more information. It'll be on the website Friday to order at your local dealer or flyracing.com. All right. And then Brunt Boots, Onyx Maps as well, Reach.
Yeah, Onyx Maps has 500,000 miles of trails mapped out. Let's say you live in Las Vegas and you don't go to races anymore and you just want something to do with your free time because you have a lot. You can find mountain bike trails on there, dirt bike trails, hiking trails. Maybe you want to take the wife out. I know she's big outdoor enthusiasts. You can find some things to do. So go to onxmaps.com or onx off-road in the app store and take it for a test drive for 7 days and see. It's way, way better than trying to use Google Maps for any stuff like that.
Today, I got a text from the award-winning LVK show co-host that I'm in, and it was presented to me when Steve last attended a national. Ducati had never raced in the USA. Sexton wasn't racing. Cooper Webb still had the SMX points lead, and Freddie Norin still had a team. That's what these assholes are doing. So, yeah. Yeah, things that had happened. But again, Reno Arena Cross, Canadian National,
all
SMX
Supercross.
I do it all.
MXGP. I was at MXGP in Spain earlier this year.
Amateur regional, Paula regional, amateur race, also covered by me.
You were racing.
I was watching. All right, 450s. Here we go. Yep, Jet Lawrence won again. Same kind of race as Red Bud in Moto One, where he makes that mistake early on the first lap and has to fight back. Isn't able to do it like Red Bud. Hunter wins the Moto, becomes the third guy to win a Moto this year. Congrats to Hunter. His streak is incredible. This is just nuts. His top five streak, his second overalls, all of that. Jet could only get up to second. Still rode amazing. Second Moto, Jet put on that clinic. Hunter followed him. They were 40 seconds ahead of Chase Sexton. 40 seconds ahead of Chase Sexton in Moto 2. And yeah, man, the Lawrence brothers. Check it out.
I think that was Hunter's best effort yet against Jet.
I told him that on the podium.
Yeah.
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 I agree.
Like you said, I think Jet did try. You saw when Jet got the second, when he made that double pass on Plessinger and Chase, he looked over, see where he was. He caught him quick last week, way quicker than I thought he was going to. I'm like, can Jet even get close enough to Hunter when they overall? Oh, he's already passed him. So, you know, he's got that in his mind. Like, okay, 8 seconds. So what I'm saying is Hunter held him off legit. Like you're saying, JT, maybe at the end, Jet eventually said, I'm not going to get it done. But I got to imagine there were three or four laps where he went after him.
Oh, I think when he got it to six, he was like, it's on. Like, I am coming.
Yep.
And he had a bad lap the next lap. Like, he got caught up in a lapper. He made a mistake. And it went back to almost nine.
Yeah.
And I think he just said, well, it's over.
Yep.
Like, I just think he basically, somebody has to say uncle on those things. We talked about in 250, like that mental kind of battle that's going on. Like, you never hear them talk about it so much, but this is going on. Like, it's subliminal between these guys. And at some point, Jet just said, and credit to Jet on the podium for just saying, yeah, man, I couldn't catch him. Like, I tried. I was trying. Mm-hmm. And at some point you settle and you can see it. Like, you can literally see it in their body language, in the lap times, because it went from 6 to 8 to 15 in like 3 laps. Like, Jet just said, I'm not going to take any more risk. I'm done. And Hunter just kept holding that pace because he knew that's all he had to do. So yeah, a great, great job from Hunter all day long. Even the second moto, man, that was an incredible effort. And all you had to do was look at what they did to everybody else. Like, they put 90 seconds into Tomac. Like, it's a whole nother conversation, I know, with Eli. But 40 seconds on Chase and 90 seconds on Tomac, like, if you're wondering how good Hunter's riding, that's all you need to know. Forget about Jet. Like, take Jet out of the equation. If you just want to see how well Hunter's doing, look at what he's doing to the rest of the competition.
Yeah, it's impressive. Really impressive.
I also feel that first 20 minutes, man, I really feel like we've seen Jet manage these 1.8 second leads. Dude, I feel like Jet was on the edge. Like, I feel like he was giving Jet all he could handle for that first 20.
All right. So, yeah, the Lawrence brothers, JT, we lost Weege. Maybe he'll come back on. The Lawrence brothers absolutely crushed it, put on a display. And I mean, I didn't know. I don't think anybody talked to Chase after the race. He probably had a flight. So I'm not sure exactly what happened, but I don't know if he was happy or not, Chase. I mean, 3-3, getting caught and passed by Jet. But like last week at Red Bud, by all accounts, he was stoked. He was just happy to be there. He knew his riding wasn't where it needed to be, and he'll be better or whatever. So, yeah, I don't know how he was after this race. I don't imagine that second moto went well.
I don't think he was happy. But I will give him credit when he's been asked on the podium, and I didn't talk to him either weekend, I don't think. He's basically said, yeah, I'm just not there.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I do appreciate that. Like, I like that he is taking it head on. But in the same breath, I don't think he's thrilled. I did want to, before we get away from Hunter, his bike looked so great this weekend. James did a really good job of kind of calling that out. But man, Jet's bike looked a little off. Like, Jet can just overcome it. Like, his talent will just get him over the hump in those situations. But Hunter's bike, they had that thing dialed in. And I was kind of listening in. I really try to not invade their privacy when they come in right after the race. But you could just tell when he was talking to the technician, Showa guys, whoever, he was pretty pleased with the motorcycle. Yeah. And watching it, I can absolutely see why.
By the way, the track I thought looked epic. Prep wise, the line choices, you know, like the water, amount of water they put down. I thought the track looked great. Like,
it was really
formed up nicely. So Sexton, 3-3. Like, I mean, I guess I just don't think if you're Chase, getting 3-3 is better than getting 3-3. I got beat by 40 seconds. That part, well, as I would think, he's like, that's a little much.
Yeah, it's
10 seconds, 15.
How it looks, right? The results on paper is not really what he's feeling. He knows he got dropped bad in that second moto. You know, that's the
and
tough part.
Weege, Hunter is emerging, which, by the way, pat myself on the back. I predicted this a few weeks ago, but Hunter is emerging now as the second best guy.
I think he's emerged. I don't know if there's any. It's already happened. Yeah, I read at the end of the year last year when Sexton got landed on at the SMX finale, which is what they're all really racing for, Steve. Someone had a hilarious, like a fake, I think, GoFundMe for like poor Chase Sexton. And it was pretty hilarious. Things he's gone through. They're like, for some reason, the KTM looks tiny for poor Chase. And it was like, now he's got to deal with Jet's brother, who's almost as good as Jet now. And it is like, damn it, this Jet thing is a real problem. And friggin' hell, Hunter's this good too? Now there's two of them?
Yeah.
And at least last year, he was able to handle Hunter. Hunter gave him a hell of a battle most weeks, but Sexton was able to do it. But now it's like, oh no, this has become a real threat.
Yeah, no, he's legit. And I thought Hunter would take a step up in Supercross this year as well. I was kind of thinking that, but obviously the bike stuff and then an injury and all that. But I mean, dude, Hunter's really, he's crushing it. Good job. Sexton 3-3. RJ Hampshire 4-4. RJ's getting better, man. Fly Racing Zone. He is getting better. He's creeping up there. Riding well. I think he's missing something early in the motos, but other than that.
I mean, think about like what some of these other guys are thinking. Like, he's just passing guys. Like, he's just passing and pulling away from like UI Tomac. Like, Tomac's like, yeah, man, can't do anything about it. And RJ's just riding off away from him. Just not something I thought I would see. Kudos to RJ. No. He really hasn't had any big crashes at all. When I watch him, he's really not having any big moments at all.
Yeah.
A lot to like there for RJ.
Yeah. He was on a Pulp Show a couple weeks ago talking about how it's really cool racing Eli Tomac. Like, he doesn't give a shit about everybody else, right? But Tomac's still that legend status, right? And he's like, it's so cool racing Eli. And now you're like, you're passing him, bro. You're passing him. So pretty impressive. Barsha 8-7 for fifth overall.
Yeah. I know. He was shocked. I had to do a really quick interview with him. And it's like the most stressful thing in the world for me. Like, I even said like really freaking good because I was freaking out in my head because we were trying to get off air and I asked too long of a question and Barsha really didn't know that we were so tight. But I saw it in his eyes. He had no idea that he got fifth overall. Like, when I told him, he's like, what?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And why would you with an 8-7? But he's coming around for sure.
Yeah. Yep. Doesn't have a ride still next year, right, Weege? We don't quite know what he's doing. Ducati, I mean, we all think it's going to. Yeah.
He keeps saying over and over, I would love to be back with TLD, which is Ducati, but it's not signed. You know what's interesting? He said in a couple interviews that he has an offer for more money if he just raced WSX. That seems crazy. It's like, I'm not saying WSX doesn't pay or anything, but I mean, it's how many races versus.
Yeah.
He could make more money in like 8 races or 6 races or 10 races than 30 some. That just seems bizarre to me.
I know that the WSX guys have a fund for like a superstar rider, and there's certain qualities that the rider has to meet to make that get this money from the series and the teams. But
I'm just saying math here. So 6 or 8 races. They've paid guys, obviously Tomac and Roczen and stuff. Well, I was just surprised to hear that, but I want to keep racing AMA. And I am surprised that this Ducati thing, which we all kind of thought is going to happen for 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, when Barsha came back last year, I don't even remember him racing. It wasn't good at all. He's been good this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't believe it. You think Barcia, like WSX, maybe offers them like 750, and his offer here is like 5 or 6. Like I can see that.
Dude, do you think they're offering that much?
I mean, they paid Roczen and Tomac 250k per race or whatever. Like,
yeah, I mean, if it's 6 times 150, then I guess
I was thinking like a lot. I was thinking 100k per, 125 per.
Yeah. Damn, bro.
Malcolm Stewart, 6th, 7, 8. You guys focused on him a lot on the show, obviously with James there and everything. James has dropped so many hints about Malcolm's bike. It's obvious now that Malcolm has been telling James, I don't like my bike. We're working on it. It's not where it needs to be, because James can't help that, dropping hints about the bike. But hey, 7, 8, Malcolm rode well this weekend.
Yeah, I will say, though, that you know how dads are often the hardest on the kids?
Mm-hmm.
Brother's probably not quite that level, but yeah.
Right, right.
He's not a homer. He's not a homer for
them. Yeah.
He can be hard on him.
Did you get the feeling, though, that it's also Malcolm being reluctant to really change also? Like, I kind of got the sense that they wanted the bike to be better, but Malcolm was kind of wanting it to be in a certain box also.
I've had those conversations with James. Yes. Yeah.
So I don't know. I just didn't want it to
sound like sort of meeting in the middle that has to happen between if you're not comfortable.
Right.
We got to try some stuff. And the very first time you get on it, you might not like it, but mm-hmm. that's part of the process.
There's a lot of, it's happened all year, all outdoors with James and Malcolm and the bike talk. So there's something there.
The only point I wanted to make is, as always, it's takes two, right? The team is probably trying, and the rider has to do their part too, right? Everybody's trying. Sometimes it's both sides not getting to where they want to be.
Oh, well, are we up to the Prado part of the pod then?
No, let's go Tomac, Weege.
Okay, so obviously this is terrible. Like, I mean, Malcolm just outdueled him in second moto.
Justin Cooper in the first moto caught and passed him late in the race too, from a ways back.
Yeah. And Cooper's hurt. There's a couple things on this.
Yeah.
I saw a fan in the airport this morning, and he's like, "Hey man, what do you think's up with Tomac?" And I'm like, "Well, I can give you James Stewart's take." And he's like, "What's that?" So first let me give you Stu's take. Congrats to guys like RJ, who are just going to give you everything they got all the time. And that's why RJ could just beat Tomac suddenly right now. Is RJ better than Tomac? I don't think so. Stu is very big on, when you're a Eli Tomac, or you're a Jorge Prado, or you're a James Stewart, as soon as dudes start passing you, it's done. You're not, when you go back to fourth, you're not like, all right, I better keep fighting. I don't want to fall back to fifth. When you get back to fourth, you're like, what the hell is going on? The bottom drops out. The emotions are gone. The willingness to fight is gone. That is James' take. Because I literally said to James, I'm like, how are we going to not say that it looks like Prado's not in shape when he keeps fading like this? And he's like, you don't think he's in shape? I'm like, look what happens to Prado in every moto. And he's like, no, I don't think that's a problem. He's like, once he gets yarded by a couple guys, I think he's like completely deflated and demoralized. And I think he thinks that's where Eli Tomac is right now. Once the title was gone after the DNF last weekend, and the willingness to go balls to the wall is gone.
I think that's true at times for Prado. At Red Bud, he was tired. I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you straight up.
Yeah, we did hear that. Yes.
Tired at Red Bud.
Yep.
First moto at Millville? No. First moto at Millville, Prado gave up.
Those, yes.
Very different things.
I don't think you can put Prado and Eli Tomac in the same box. Sorry. Just, you can't. There's just no way. Like, yes. So we have some history with Tomac. When he had the double DNF at Loretta's, he started mailing it in. Now he picked it up near the end of the year and battled Zacco a little bit.
Yeah.
But there were some weirdo races from Eli Tomac after that double DNF.
But that's exactly James's point. He's like,
no, I know. That's what I'm saying.
It wasn't great, but there was maybe still a hope that, hey, maybe that was just one weekend that wasn't great. We'll see what happens at Redbud. Yeah. And then when Redbud turns into DNF 9 and now you're 70 points behind, James just thinks, he's like, what am I even here for? Like, I only race to win races and win titles. The difference between fighting my ass off to get fourth instead of sixth or eighth or seventh. Go ahead, RJ Hampshire.
I mean,
I don't care. I'm
okay with that. Yeah. Like I said, there's some history, but you can't put Prado in that box where that guy hasn't done anything over here. He still has to fight and prove his point and see where he lines up with these guys.
Like,
so,
well, maybe he does, but the same thing's happening. James thinks it's like once he starts going backwards, it's like, if I'm not going to get third or first, I don't care if I get 11th, 8th, or 7th. Right. It doesn't matter.
Stu is saying if they're both in 8th, they just don't care at that point. Like, you're not going to get their best effort because they're not in the fight for the win. And if they're not in the fight for the win, they don't really care what happens.
Prado's never been in the fight for the win here in America. Like,
but his whole life has been in the fight for the win. You know? His whole life.
His whole life. His just like Eli Tomac.
Racing career from EMX to MX2 to MXGP.
Not really. Not really.
What are you talking about?
His first year in MX1, MXGP, he got beat. He got third in the points or fourth in the points first year. Like,
he was trying to win races. He was in the fight.
Of course.
He was never this bad, even in his first year.
No.
He was never
But if you look at, like, say this year, his first year in America is just like his first year in MXGP.
It wasn't.
Not even close.
It wasn't.
No, it's not. But it should be where he's getting thirds and fourths and fifths and learning the track and he's leading laps. And he should be the same in America as he is in the first year of MXGP. And then next year, step it up. You know the tracks, you know the top, you know everything. Yeah. So, but this is so far off his first year of even MXGP.
Like,
I have to go back through the results, but
is that when he's in eighth, he doesn't care anymore. Like, he's not even going to fight the way he would normally fight because he's so far off of where he thinks he should be. Where, like, a guy like RJ, he doesn't have this expectation that he's like, I should be winning. So his heart's still in it. Like, he's going to keep pushing and keep pushing.
I understand the theory. If I'm Jorge Prado or Kawasaki, hey, bro, you're not Eli Tomac. You don't have legendary status in America where you can mail it in. Like,
that might be a fair point. Yes.
Like, beat it. Like,
I'm just saying that's
you
what
need
he's
to
doing.
Learn.
I'm not saying that's okay, but that's James' theory as to why these guys can get beat by 80 seconds. When
I think
Tomac was,
I mean,
3 weeks ago,
Prado's best finish
is either. I don't
Prado's
think it's okay
finish
for
is
Eli
the best. Go ahead.
To not care. Like, I don't think Eli's not caring, but if he's just gonna, like, in that first moto, Prado quit. Like, he quit. He sat up, stopped trying, zero effort from there. Like, I watched it in real time. Yeah. I know what it looks like. I watched him do it. I haven't really seen that from Tomac. Like, you could say he's not riding very well. He's not riding inspired. I haven't seen quit in the way that I saw Prado in the first moto. Like, to me, there's a little bit of a difference there. If Tomac was doing what Prado did in the first moto, I wouldn't say that's okay. I don't think that's okay to do.
No, this is not okay for Prado. You can't put Prado in this box. Yeah,
but
I don't think Tomac.
I haven't seen Tomac do what Prado did in that first moto this weekend.
Yeah, it's definitely degrees. It's not. I believe Tomac could still finish third or fourth in one of these races.
Listen, I know people
giving it 8% less, and Prado's giving it like 80.
I know people at Cowie, as you guys do, and they're also saying he's not in shape that he needs to be in.
He was tired in the first motor. He was tired at Red Bud. Period. Yeah. End of story. Yeah. I don't want to hear any different. Yeah. If anybody told me different, I would say you're wrong. Like, he was tired.
Yeah, you know what I think is a huge, and not just him, the heat thing, any of these guys, Patrel, Guillaud, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I think even Power Up, that heat thing, dude, it's a thing.
You're making, like, if you're Tomac, there's still 100K up for grabs every weekend. You know, there's still money and everything else up for grabs. But I'm with JT, like, I wasn't at Millville or Red Bud, covering other things. But, I don't see the Tomac giving up. Like, he still looks like he's still riding like Eli Tomac. It's just not working. He's still flying.
But I'm saying, this is degrees. I'm saying maybe it's 3%.
Yeah. Right.
What do we always say with Barcia? It does not matter what position Barcia's in, if he's having a good year or a bad year, but when there's a dude next to him, he tried it with Guillaud. It does not matter who, where, what, he's going to give you the same effort always. That's a guy like RJ. Eli Tomac. I'm just giving you James Stewart's perspective. James is like, If I'm going to get seventh, I might as well just not even be here, man.
Well, if I'm KTM, I'm very concerned.
Tomac looks mentally defeated right now. When I watch him race, like, Jet went past him, and it was just like, see ya, dude. Like, I am out of here. And Eli was just like, looked over on the uphill triple going up Mount Martin and was just like,
yeah.
All right. Well, see you next time. Like,
that's
well, he stayed about 3 feet lower too.
I know. I just,
yeah, yeah.
I think he's just like,
yeah, like, but I don't understand. Like, I don't get why, like, why, and I like Eli and John's awesome. Why? And I see it, and it's not just you two guys, but why are there just apologists out there for Eli Tomac? Like, how about just, he's older and he's he's slower. Like, what, like,
I don't know. Man,
we're just sitting here going, like, he didn't qualify well. He didn't qualify well this weekend. So he didn't even lay down a heater. And like, I get it. Like, I totally, like I said, there's precedent, the Loretta's thing. There's literally precedent for him sort of mailing it in. I get it. I'm not saying that's a dumb theory on James, but also, can we just maybe go with like, hey, man, he's just not as quick as he used to be.
But he was quick, though. It happened this season. He won the moto straight up at Hangtown. Like, but he got that much older in a month and a half.
No, but and I don't mind the theory. It's the same theory of amateurs coming out that have been riding motocross for a long time, and then they come out swinging at the opening rounds. Eli was riding outdoors for a while and came out swinging. Came out swinging at the opening rounds. And now everyone's sort of catching up.
He won a moto 3 weeks ago. Like, hasn't been that long.
The Hangtown was not 3 weeks ago.
No.
Yeah. High point. Yeah.
Yeah.
I
don't know. Like, I will say that, I mean, I was just wrong because I really thought Tomac was the clear cut second best guy. And I am just dead wrong in that assessment. Like, he is so far from the second best guy right now. And I truly don't know what to make of it. I have no idea what's happening. Maybe Stu's right. I don't even have a guess. And I usually always have a strong opinion on something, whether I waffle about it or not. I have no idea what's happening with it.
I didn't have Guillaume beating him. That's for sure. Guy on Rock River.
I have no idea what's happening. Like, if you told me he was battling with Chase, I'd be like,
yeah, man.
Hunter and Jet got their outdoor legs underneath them. They picked it up and he kind of stayed the same. This isn't staying the same, which is like why I push back on the everybody got their outdoor skills on par. He's so much worse than he was. So much worse than he was. That's my real problem. It's not like you can say everybody got better and that can be true. And he could be running 3, 4, 5 every moto, 30 seconds down. That's fine. He was a minute and a half off the lead.
What was he going to get before his bike blew up at Redbud?
50 seconds behind Chase, who just came back.
What was he? He's going to get third at Redbud?
Yeah, and he moved up to third. He passed a bunch of guys, got to third. Okay. So that's why James is like, the moment that motor let go and there was zero chance of winning the title, his results turned horrific. And they kind of had
it. Well, I guess we'll see. Yeah. Washougal's a good track for him.
It is a good track for him. Yeah. Maybe he can J-Mart it. Anyway, I saw this fan in the airport and he's like, is it because he has kids and he's scared? I'm like, he had the same amount of kids at Hangtown.
No, that is not it.
Kids. He had the same amount of kids at San Diego Supercross where he passed Jet in the sand. Just stop with the kids, everybody. Stop.
Well, one thing for sure, we'll all get a lot of interviews with him to figure out what's going on. And we'll get deep into this for sure.
I'm looking forward to the one sentence quote in the press release this week.
Yep.
Disappointing weekend. We're moving on.
Valentin Guillaume, though, 8th overall. Ooh. Yep. Yeah, him and Bam Bam going at it a little bit there, and good job.
It helped him. It helped those guys this weekend with the weather. That was a big part of going 10. Like, Guillaume's a great rider, don't get me wrong, but if it's 90 degrees, he's not going 10-6. He's just not, in my opinion.
No, he has made numerous comments to me about the heat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I asked him after the race. He always goes to the media scrum, as you know, Steve. I was like, when you were battling Barsha side by side, did you know? And he said, oh, we know Bum Bum. We know Bum Bum. He knew. Yeah. And Barsha, also great, said, no, my passes were clean. I didn't touch anybody all day. Now, he did go over a berm.
Yeah.
And off the track.
He didn't touch him, but only because Guillaume stopped.
Went over a berm. He actually went over two berms.
Yeah.
The inside berm and the outside berm.
And you know what? Barsha reminds me of a guy. If you anybody that is listening or watching, if you watch football and you see a corner just absolutely molest a wide receiver and they're like, I didn't do it. I didn't touch him. Oh. I didn't do anything. Yeah. That is Barsha. They
throw their hands up. Yeah.
That is Barsha every interview after he has any sort of contact.
We
don't ever change Barsha because it's great. I love when guys are consistent. He's consistent, if nothing else.
And then now we're going back to High Point where Guillaume has never beaten Prado in MXGP, and now he's beaten him twice. So,
yep.
12-5 for Jorge. And like JT said, first moto was horrific. Second moto, whatever. Fifth is fine. Like 5-4-3, that's all good. You know, stay there, ride there.
I don't think it's anywhere near what he's capable of. It's just not. But the second moto, I kind of would just be like, okay, fine.
Do you?
The first moto is unacceptable. Absolutely unacceptable.
Do you guys think this is going to get better at all in 2025? I don't. This is 26
or 25?
No, 25. The rest of this year and SMX and everything else. Like we are where we are. Yeah,
the die is cast for 25.
Right. Because like you know, Hangtown, High Point. You're like okay, like you know, we're over halfway, man.
But I think he can do what he did at Red Bud, like weed a moto.
Yeah,
but he can't hold that against Hunter and Jed and those guys right now, and Sexton either. Like
yeah.
He can go maybe the pace for a little bit, but.
Oh,
he, not for 35 minutes.
He's just giving up. Just giving up. He doesn't care. I love James Stu. Stu's a legend, but give me a break, Stu. Give me a break.
I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
The theory makes sense.
Not when a guy has done nothing in America. Like, dude, you got to do something to have that attitude.
But
like,
you think you don't? You
have
think
you heard his interviews? What attitude do you think he has?
It's a terrible attitude in my opinion.
Well, yes. You can disagree with his attitude, but we're just saying, does he have that attitude or not? Like it or not, is that his attitude? And his attitude is definitely, I'm here to win. I should be winning. If I'm not winning, this sucks. That is definitely his attitude.
Okay, but you don't get to be like as good as he is without like having some pride, right?
The pride is kicking him in the other direction.
The problem.
Yes, the pride is the problem. When he gets passed by three guys quickly, the pride is saying, I wish I could get off this track right now.
Well, if Rocky Balboa had that, he never would have got off the canvas with Clubber Lang.
Yeah, he's a movie character.
Ridiculous. Justin Cooper, 5-13. Yeah, saw his practice crash. Definitely took some wind out of him, so that fifth wasn't so bad. Second moto, he said it caught up to him a little bit. Cody Shock, 9-11. Shock was up there in Moto 2 for a while, battling it out.
Did you see him jump down Mount Martin?
Dude.
Oh,
I don't think so.
He put it on his Instagram. You got to look at it.
Oh,
what a psychopath.
Yeah, it's Evil Knievel. Evil Knievel.
Just launched it? Just sent it?
Just go watch it.
Lorenzo Locurcio. Another good one for Lorenzo. Because he was good at Red Bud, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm looking at Cody Shock's Instagram right now.
Is it like a story?
Did
you talk to him? Was that the interview I saw where you talked to him about he could see Tomac in front of him the whole time?
There were a lot of guys, JT, as you saw, Bryce Shelley, a lot of, there are going to be so many people telling their relatives, their grandkids in the year 2060 about Millville when they battled Eli Tomac. Now I want to go back. I want to go back to the Thunder Valley 2021 race or whatever, when Eli went like 11-10. Steve, the amount of riders that were like, today was the day I got to say I could keep up with Eli Tomac. Yep.
Was that the same year the Reddit's double DNF? Am I talking? Is that the same?
I don't think it was.
I think it was a different year. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Yep.
And that was when Zacha was roosting him on purpose.
Oh, yeah.
The 21 year was his last year at Cali, and he was full on mailing it in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except
again, at the end of the year, he started winning. I don't know where that came from.
Yeah. Then he picked it up, if I remember
right. It was still weird. Watch him win Ironman or something, and we'll be like, what?
Yeah. Harry Coolis, 13-14. Colt Nichols, dude.
Yeah.
So Nichols put on his Instagram. He's been dealing with a UCL. So that thumb ligament, the old thumb thing. So I guess that's been an issue. But hey, he's alive. 15-15. Colt Nichols and Austin Faulkner showing signs of life. Millville 2025.
I knew it was coming.
Wow.
Props to Tony Caroli. Props to Marshall Welton for helping get the bike off Caroli in Moto 1. And then, dude, Caroli was 39th forever. Just eating it, too. Just rocks and sand and everything. And the guy raced the whole moto. He's 40 years old. He could have just pulled it in, called it a day. Picks him. Didn't give up. 23rd. The pride was there for Tony Caroli. He had it. Could have pulled off. 23rd, no points, but decent gate pick. not horrific gate pick. And then he takes that in the second moto and gets a 10th. And he was battling Eli Tomac. And you guys saw his ass from the crash in Moto One burnt. Yeah.
Yep.
And then Tony told Lewis that he wants to do SMX. I'm like, sir, I don't think it works like that. I think you have to qualify. I don't think they just put you in. So
No. He had thought of the amount of points he could score. Because I think after Red Bud, he was like 43rd overall and then started thinking, wait, if I do a few more, could I get in?
Oh,
yeah.
Like more than these two, because he needs to do more than four motos.
Yes. Yeah. He didn't think there'd be any chance. So then it was like, wait, a few more of these. So yep. I don't think he'll be back, but I guess now it's not a definite no.
I think 10th is legit. Like he got 9th at Redbud in one moto, 10th in one moto at Millville. Yeah. It's great.
He's 39 freaking years old.
Yeah.
We looked it up. We had Clinton Fowler look it up, Steve. The amount of 39-year-olds who've had top 10s are John Dowd 400 times. And then somebody else. Oh, Mike Brown once.
Yep.
And now Caroli twice.
Mike Brown on a 250, 450, or Mike Brown on a 125? Class. Oh, 450 class. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Seriously, John Dowd's number was like,
it was insane. I don't even
remember. It was some insane number of times.
I think it was like 38 or 28 times.
It's incredible.
Past the age of 40.
Brownie's top 10 might have come on that EXC that we did the re-raceables on. Oh, yeah,
the off-road bike.
the off-road bike when Jay Dungy worked for him. Right.
That's right. We did a re-raceables, JT, where for some reason the AMA had Brownie listed on the XC model KTM. And so Jay EXC, was his mechanic, Steve? Is that what it was?
Yeah. Jay was his mechanic. Yeah. Yep. And I said, dude, how is that thing homologated? Like, there's no way KTM sent EXCs to AMA. And then Jay's just like, yeah, I don't know. Who knows?
So yeah.
Chances are Mike Brown raced an illegal bike.
Okay.
Hangtown.
All right. Then Caroli's the second guy then ever to do it at that age.
But good job for Caroli. I mean, there were some people saying he was going to be lucky to get top 20. And I'm just like, wait, what? And JT was saying the same thing. Yeah.
No.
Henry Miller, Mitchell Harrison, Pacharel, a bad week for Pacharel again. He's had some bike problems. I don't know if that was a problem this week, but he's not been having a fun time. And then Cornelius, second moto, saved the bike for JT. Don't know what happened.
Appreciate that.
And then Aaron Plessinger, probably going to miss Washougal, right?
Poor guy.
We can't imagine. Keep trotting him out here, right? Yeah.
At least take the break.
Yeah, you got 3 weeks, right? Do we know? Is just illness? Just sickness? What are we saying? It. Yeah.
Yeah, I talked to him a little bit Saturday morning. He said, remember he put in like a couple laps of Fury and actually were catching Hunter and Jet at Redbud? He's like, I got to him and all of a sudden I felt like I had no energy.
Hmm.
Then he felt horrible between the motos. Yeah, I don't know what the deal is, man.
I want to get some blood work done.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
All right. That's Millville. What a race. Best track on the circuit. You guys like it? Congrats to J Mart. That's the story.
Oh.
Legend. And now this thing, you can go back to UPS. Talk about how we won the moto.
What'd you guys do this weekend?
Crush some beers on the lake. What'd you do? I won second moto at Millville 250 class.
That Hayden Deegan kid. You know Hayden Deegan?
Right. And by the way, I know like with Deegs' podium speeches, sometimes the bar is low on congratulating him. Like just act like a normal human. And then you get like, hey, good job on the podium. He was really complimentary of J-Mart and really nice about J-Mart and all of that. So I thought that was good. I thought that was good. Good job, Hayden. He was very, you know, cool about J-Mart winning and congratulating him and all that. So
if he beat him again at Washougal, though, he's coming in hot.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, before we go, Brunt Work Boots, PulpMX is a code to save with PulpMX Show. Sorry, is a code to save with Brunt Boots. You can get them at bruntworkwear.com. And Pedro Jelly, using Brunt work boots out there. Check them out. They got work wear as well. If you want to get the Marin work boots, they're not only built for the toughest job sites, they're completely waterproof, whether it's rain, mud, or standing water. Your feet is dry. Bruntworkwear.com. PulpMX Show is the code to save. Great boots for working men. None of us on this pod are working men, but there are a lot of working men listening, so appreciate it. and Renthal Maxis on X Maps, motorsport.com as well. Go through the banner to help us out at motorsport.com. OEM and aftermarket parts. Thank you to those guys for coming on board. Ultimate Ride Sweepstakes is going on now. Motorsport.com, their home race, Washougal, next weekend. So, all right, everybody. And then, so Fly's doing a thing on Thursday at PIR, JT?
Yeah.
Yep.
PIR will be there.
Yep.
And have our ambassadors there, Damon Bradshaw, Weston Pike, Trey Kennard. I don't know if Shorty will be there Friday or Thursday or not, but come check it out. Yeah, Shorty's the man. You know, he will be at the race.
He doesn't like the fans. He's never there for the fans. Yeah, he's not a very nice guy. Man. Yeah.
Very much not. He won't talk to anybody. He and Weege are very similar. They won't talk to anyone.
Yep. No, that's great. So please check that out if you're at Portland International Raceway on Thursday night. I'll be there as well, hanging out with JT and the ambassadors. Thursday, we got our Friday live show. Thanks to 10 Barrel for that. I think Lars will be a guest to recap the contest. We got to get another guest as well. Should we get Ryan Huffman, Weege, for the re-raceables and Rarick together?
Great idea. Great idea. Rarick can apologize in person.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's it. All right. Well, thanks for everything, Fly Racing, Racer X, Millville Review, JT, Weege. Thanks, boys.
See you guys.
This has been the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Motorsport.com, Renthal, and RacerXOnline.com. Thanks for listening and supporting our partners. Don't change.